The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of His Word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in Him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. For weeks upon end now, we've been talking about the construction of the tabernacle and how it's made. This morning, we're going to make a shift. No longer we're going to be talking about how it was built, but whom it was built for. We're making a shift. We're going to be talking about the priest, and the priests are those who worked inside the tabernacle. And my hope this morning is that we see the priest not so much as a position, but that we see the priest as a picture of Jesus. Exodus 28. Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so that they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Tell the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration so that he may serve me as priest. These are the garments they are to make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. They are to make these sacred garments for your brother Aaron and his sons so that they may serve me as priest. Have them use gold and blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine twisted linen. The priests were characterized by two things: duty and dignity. So first, the duty of their priest. Look again at verse 1. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, so that they may serve me as priest. God tells Moses, your brother Aaron, and I know you remember your brother Aaron, go get him, and we're going to set him apart with all of his sons, and we're going to set them apart to be priests. And the priests are going to serve the Lord in the tabernacle. For weeks, we've been talking about the tabernacle. We've been talking about its construction. We've been talking about all of these furnishings: the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of the Presence, the lampstand, and the altar. And what all of these furnishings have in common is that there's an associated task with them. The Ark of the Covenant. It's where God's presence resided. And remember that once a year, someone would go behind the curtain and sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. Because without the shedding of blood, no one draws near to God. And then we have the table with the fresh bread, the table of presence. It was to be reminiscent of a family meal, and the table was to remind them that they were a part of God's family, and so every week someone must make fresh bread for the table. And then the lampstand. The lampstand gave light to the entire tent, and without the lampstand there would be no way to see the Ark of the Covenant and no way to see the table of presence. And someone needed to keep the light on and to keep oil in the lamps. And then there was the altar. It was the place where the sacrifices were burned. An animal was killed, and then someone would hoist the animal onto the bronze grate and light a fire until it was consumed. Someone had to kill the animal, and someone had to tend the fire. Exodus chapter 28 is the moment we see who will do these things. In Exodus chapter 28, God is saying, it'll be the duty of Aaron and his sons to sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant with the blood of the sacrifice. Aaron and his sons will have the duty to bake the bread, and Aaron and his sons will have the duty to keep the lights on, and Aaron and his sons will have the duty to offer the sacrifice. God says the duties of the tabernacle will fall to Aaron and his sons. They will be the first priest. It was a duty, and yet far more than duty, it was also delight. These men, these priests, were the very ones who were allowed in the presence of God. It was the priests who were closer to God than all the others. Do you remember the fabric fence last week? And the fabric fence separated those on the outside from those on the inside? These were the men on the inside. These were the men who knew God's presence. These were the men who dwelled with God. It was an incredible privilege. And every little Jewish boy wanted to be a priest. And every Jewish girl wanted to marry a priest. When I was in the ninth grade, we had to write an essay on what we wanted to be. Now, I'm sure that growing up in school, we wrote this essay every single year, but I remember my ninth grade year. And I remember it this time because I remember what the teacher said. She said, "You're going to write about what you want to be when you grow up." And she said, "I don't want to read one essay about anyone becoming a professional football player or an astronaut because it's not going to happen." She said, "We're only going to write about realistic things that actually may happen." The duty of the priest, that most sacred privilege, was never going to happen for any boy except for a son of Aaron. Verse 1, God says, "Set Aaron and his sons apart for this duty." They didn't choose it. God chose them. And because this is God's choosing, he makes it clear, "These are my priests." And the way he makes it clear that I have chosen them is by the clothes in which they will wear. So that brings us to our second point, number 2, the dignity of their priest. These priests were given special clothes that conveyed, verse 2, dignity and honor. Special things to wear that just made it obvious to everyone, okay, this is a priest. He is separate. He serves in the tabernacle. Now, even in our own culture, our attire gives away the activity. If you see a lady in a wedding dress, you know that she's about to get married. The attire gives away the activity. Or if you see a bunch of people dressed in black, you know that it's a funeral. The attire gives away the activity. The judge wears a robe. The fireman wears a fire suit. The soldier wears camo. Our attire gives away the activity. And the priest had a special dignity to convey their special duty. And their clothes were meant to say, "Whoa, look at them. They serve in the presence of God." Their special clothes included 8 things, 6 of them in verse 4. Verse 4, an ephod, a breastplate, a robe, a tunic, a turban, a sash. And then in verse 37, there's a medallion. And in verse 41, there's undergarments. And we're all familiar with underwear, but probably unfamiliar with the 7 other things on the list. Verse 6, the ephod. The ephod is essentially an apron. And what makes this apron special is that it had 2 straps. That's pretty normal. But on the straps, it had 2 onyx stones. And on the onyx stones, verse 9, were engraved the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in verse 15, we have the breastplate. And the breastplate is exactly that. It was a square plate over the chest, about 9 inches square. And just like the ephod, it represented the 12 tribes of Israel. On the breastplate were 12 gemstones, 1 stone for each tribe. And then the breastplate had this pocket for verse 30, the Urim and Thummim. And the Urim and Thummim were gemstones that were used for decisions. And some scholars say the Urim and Thummim were like dice, that perhaps the priest would ask a question of the Lord, yes or no, and then they'd throw these gemstones, and depending on the orientation, they would know that God either said yes or God said no. And other scholars have said, no, these things are much more mystical than that. And some said that they would actually glow and that the priest would ask a yes or no question. They would hold them up. And if one glowed, maybe the Urim, it meant yes. But if maybe the Thummim glowed, it meant no. No one really knows how they were used. But we're certain what they were used for. The priest would go into the tabernacle. And the priest would take out the Urim and the Thummim. And he would ask of the Lord, did this person sin? And if the Lord said, yes, this person sinned, then the priest would offer a sacrifice on their behalf. Don't miss the symbolism here. The ephod and the breastplate and the Urim and the Thummim, they're not for the priest. They're for the people. The priest went into the tabernacle with the names of the people on his shoulders. And he went into the tabernacle as a reminder, I am working on their behalf. I'm literally carrying them inside. And the priest went into the tabernacle with the names of Israel over his heart. It was a reminder, this is my ministry, my heart for them. And the priest went into the tabernacle for one reason and one reason only, with the Urim and the Thummim. I must make sure their every sin is atoned for. The ephod, the breastplate, the Urim and Thummim are not for the priest, but they're for the people. And then we have all of these other garments that are just the opposite. They're not for the people, but they're actually for the priest. Clothing that doesn't align them with the people, but clothing that actually separates them from the people. Verse 31, the priest is to wear this one-piece robe, and the robe is to be white. It's to be perfectly clean. It's to be holy. And then in verse 39, the priest has to wear a tunic, and the tunic goes under the robe, and the tunic is sort of like a lady's slip or like a man's white t-shirt. And it kept the outer robe from getting dirty because, again, the robe is to be clean and white and holy. And then in verse 42, the priest is to wear linen undergarments, underwear. And for the third time, God is saying, the robe must be kept holy. It must never be defiled. God is saying, keep the robe clean and pure to be a reminder that my priests are to be clean and pure. And to be clean and pure, because verse 35, the hem of the robe has all these bells sewn into it, and with every movement, the robe would jingle. And it would remind the priest, I am in a holy occupation, serving the Lord. And with all of that, it seems unlikely that the priest would ever forget that he's supposed to be a holy man, serving in a holy occupation, serving in a holy place. And yet God says, just to make sure you don't forget it, we're going to staple a sign to your head. And in verse 37, on their turban, they had a plaque stapled there that said, Holy is the Lord. Their clothing conveyed one thing. The priests are to be holy men because they engage in a holy work to a holy God. And yet, as they say, the clothes don't make the man. Let us not forget what's happening in this passage. Many chapters ago, in chapter 19, Moses goes up on the mountain. And God is speaking to Moses face to face, and God is giving Moses instruction after instruction after instruction. And as God is giving Moses these instructions for the priest in Exodus chapter 28, and as God says, set apart your brother for the priesthood, as God is giving that instruction, Aaron is at the foot of the mountain fashioning the golden calf. Let that sink in. These two events are happening simultaneously. God is speaking to Moses, set apart your brother Aaron for the priesthood. Set him apart to be holy. And Aaron is over here engaging in sin, fashioning the golden calf. God says, set apart Aaron and his sons Nadab and Abihu. And in just a matter of time, God is going to strike Nadab and Abihu dead for offering profane and perverse worship. The clothes don't make the man. The priests are to wear holy garments. And yet the priests are not holy men. And if we know the Bible, we see exactly what this passage is screaming. And this passage is screaming, we need a better priest. And if we know our Bible, we know that that better priest is Jesus Christ. That brings us to point number three, the duty of our priest. So verse 1, the priests were chosen. They were set apart for their task. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God set apart. He chose. He sent his son to be our priest. The priest represented the people. The priest had the ephod. They literally carried the names of their people on their shoulders. They carried them into the presence of God. And the priest had the breastplate. They literally had the names of the people engraved over their heart. And our priest, Jesus, carried the cross on his back. Because our priest, Jesus, has every name engraved upon his heart. He took our sins upon his shoulders. As our priest, it was his duty. He died for every name engraved on his heart. As our priest, it was his duty. The priest would wear the turban as a reminder, verse 36, that they were bearing the guilt of the people. And Jesus bore our guilt in his body on the tree, and he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He is our priest. The priest wore the white robe as a symbol of holiness. And they wore the tunic and the undergarment so that the robe would never be defiled. They were to be clean and holy. And our priest is holy, not with clothing, but with character. Our priest is the only priest who was and is without sin. Our priest lived the perfect life, holy and undefiled. And then our priest offered a sacrifice for us. He offered his own body. And then our priest ascended into the heavenly tabernacle, where God the Father accepted the sacrifice on our behalf. This was the duty of our priest. We all know what it's like to work a long, hard day and to come home and to throw ourselves into the chair and to kick up our feet and let out the sigh. Ah. And perhaps there's no better feeling in the world than that. To bask in the glory of a job well done. Hebrews 10:12. After Jesus had offered for sacrifice for our sins one time and for all, he sat down at the right hand of God. Many times we read this passage and we preach it like that, and we say, you know, Jesus, he completed his duty, and so he gets to heaven and he sits down because there's nothing more for him to do. And yet, Jesus sits down not because there's nothing more for him to do, but he sits down because this is where he will stay. You see, every priest ministered in a shift. They were only in the tabernacle for so long, only for a couple of hours. Because to be a priest was incredibly difficult. The priests were to have extreme mental focus. They were only to think about one thing, who God is and the people who need him. The priests were always to be thinking about the people on the outside, to think about them constantly, and to lift up in prayer those same people constantly. It's a constant thing to be thinking about them and to be praying for them, to constantly be lifting them up in prayer. And a human priest can only do that for so long before they need a break. But our priest, he sat down in the tabernacle. He sat down in heaven. Because he never leaves. He never needs a break. He has us constantly on our mind, and he's constantly lifting up us up in prayer, and he never says to God the Father, this is too much, let me step back, let me get a break. He sat down. He's saying, this is where I reside. This is now my task to intercede on behalf of my own. Right now, our priest is concerned for you. Right now, our priest is thinking of you. And right now, our priest is praying for you. Day and night, without end, lifting up your name to God the Father. God the Father, will you help them? God the Father, will you meet their needs? God the Father, you know them. And you know me. And you know what I'm asking. God the Father, will you intervene? And perhaps there's no better way to say it than how we've already sung it. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Oh, church, we have a priest who is for us, and a priest who will not stop and has not stopped interceding for his own on his behalf. And because that is our priest, he is most assuredly worthy of dignity. That's our fourth point. The dignity of our priest. And the way we show our priest dignity is how we live our life. You see, the way that we live our life is not merely a choice. It's a statement. The way we live our life either gives testimony to the power of God, that He's called me from darkness to light, or the way we live our life is silent to the power of God. Listen again to our call to worship this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. It says God's people are called out. Chosen, holy, special, set apart. And all of that is the language straight from Exodus 28. God set apart these priests. He called them. He chose them. He set them apart. And He called them. He chose them. He set them apart to give them a special duty and a special dignity. And the priests were the envy of everyone. People would look at these priests and say, look at them. Look at their clothes. Do you see them? Those are the special men. Those are the holy men. Those are the ones who serve the Lord. They know what we do not. They know God's presence. And everyone knew their dignity by the clothes on their back. And their clothes were made of blue and scarlet yarn, fine twisted linen, embroidery, and gemstones trimmed in gold. Their clothes were made of the very same things as the tabernacle was constructed. The priests gained their dignity because they looked like the tabernacle. And if Jesus is the tabernacle, we gain dignity when we look like Him. For the priest, there was no greater dignity imaginable than to be a priest. To get up every morning and to put on the garments of the priest. To be one of those who is on the inside. To be one of the chosen who was chosen to know God's presence. And to put on the clothes as a statement, I serve the Lord. And so what about us this morning? Do we wake up every morning and put on the clothes of a priest? The ephod and the breastplate reminded them, my service is not only to God, but my service is to others. Do we put on the clothes of the priest, the clothes of love and kindness and generosity? The robe was white and clean. And it reminded them that they were to be holy. Are we set apart? Pure and clean and holy? Striving in everything to live a life free of sin's defilement? The clothes of the priests were beautiful. Everyone looked at the clothes and the gemstones and the gold and said, wow! You know the Lord. Do people look at us and see a reflection of Jesus? And say, wow, you know the Lord. What does our adornment say? We are not talking about clothing, but conduct and character. What does our adornment say about us this morning? You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.